On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And moving on to our New Testament reading in Titus. This is Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things that you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. And then moving to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying there in the manger. when they had seen them, they and him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And this is the word of our Lord. Reverend David Luce wrote, "Have you ever noticed the pronounced hush that often attends the reading of Luke's nativity story on Christmas Eve?" He continues to write, "This story of long ago is not only about angels and shepherds, a mother and her newborn. It is also about us, all of us, gathered amid the candles and readings, carols and prayers. God came at Christmas for us, that we might have hope and courage amid the dark and dangerous times and places of our lives. This, in the end, is why we gather. So that as God entered into time and history so long ago, through the Word made flesh, God might also enter into our lives even now through the Word proclaimed in Scripture, song, and sermon. No wonder we grow quiet." That's the end of the quote. Tell me, have you ever wondered why God sent his angels to tell the shepherds? I mean, did that ever strike you as a little strange that the way to announce the birth of this child was to tell some shepherds in the field? Now, granted, these shepherds, they said, were nearby, and so they were right outside the city of David, Bethlehem, so these were probably the shepherds who would want guard the sheep and watch the, and tend to the sheep that belonged to the people in town, or perhaps the ones that were to be their perfect sheep that were to be sacrificed in the temple. Otherwise, there would be no need to keep sheep so close to town. Normally these shepherds were nomadic, ranging over huge areas of very sparse fields. But why did he call the shepherds to acknowledge the Christ? Why did he call the wise men? Now, it was a couple years later when the wise men showed up, but, you know, 2 or 3 years later. But why did he tell the wise men about them? I mean, right there in the temple, you had all the Jewish leaders, the elders and the leaders, the rabbis, the high priest. You had all of these people. I mean, after all, he had gone to the high priest Zechariah and told him of the birth of his son, John the Baptist, who would foretell the Messiah coming in Christ and call people to repent. Why did he go to the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the temple and tell them? That's the natural people. You would think that they would be the ones that would come. Why didn't he go and tell King Herod? You would think that King Herod would be the one. Instead, King Herod had to hear about it from the wise men. But wouldn't you think that God would go to the king? He would send his angels to the king to tell him that Christ was going to come? Isaiah, the great prophet, said, The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In Matthew 11:15, Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." You know, Jesus knew that most people would refuse to hear what they don't want to hear. Some of you know, I was embroiled in a long, long legal battle with the county and town that I live in the last year and a half, almost 2 years. I represented a family who, together with them, we sued the county and sued the town that I live in to annex this piece of property. And so we didn't know until November 1st the Supreme Court ruled in our favor and it moved into the thing. But I was talking with one of the attorneys one day, and he said, "Well, how come?" He said, "How are you making out with the Planning Commission? Have you made any headway with them?" I said, "I believe they have decided not to understand." And so all the facts in the world, all the logic in the world, all the history in the world made no difference with them because they had decided not to understand. And I think this is what the problem was with the Pharisees and with King Herod. It wasn't in their interest, as they understood their interest, to hear, to understand. Most people would rather be kept in the dark than to have the light shine upon their lives, revealing their sin and requiring them to change the way they live. If the Pharisees had accepted Christ as the Messiah, they would have had to change everything. It would have been an end to their powerful positions. It would have been an end to their status quo with the Romans. If King Herod had accepted Christ as the Messiah, then he would not be the big guy in that region. There would be someone greater than him in Judea. Don't you know that was so important to Herod that when he learned of Jesus from the wise men, that he ordered all of the males, all the young male children to be put to death, all the young male Jewish children to be put to death, to try to eradicate this king, this would-be Messiah, this king that would threaten his reign. They refused to understand. They refused to hear. They refused to stand in the light of Jesus Christ. So God sent his angels to the wise men in a foreign country, and I imagine that their journey began about the time that the angels were going to the God sent his knowledge to the wise men in the foreign country. And I imagine their journey began about the time that God sent his angels to the shepherds to tell them. So why the shepherds? Why was God so sure that the shepherds would believe? Well, the shepherds had no kingdom to defend. The shepherds probably didn't expect anything extraordinary to ever occur in their lives. This is our life, this is what we do, and we will do it until we die. This is our life. God chose the shepherds because they were willing to hear. They were willing to have their lives changed. They were willing to accept Messiah. They apparently were not afraid of disruption or ridicule or being shunned by their friends or being called crazy by their neighbors and all the people in the town, because they went and told them and they rejoiced. God knew who to choose to spread the word. God knew who to choose to come and worship the Christ child. The shepherds were not afraid to stand in the light of the Messiah. They were not afraid to go and bow down and worship the Messiah. The wise men that would come later were not afraid to bring gifts and to bow down and worship the Messiah. They were not so interested in protecting their kingdoms, protecting their position, protecting their power, as was King Herod and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish leaders. Now, it is unlikely to think that God would ever choose the lowly shepherds to herald the good news of the coming of his Son into the world. But he did. God chose Moses, who himself said that he could barely speak clearly, to go and talk to the Pharisee, the Pharaoh, and tell him and talk him into letting the Jewish people leave Egypt. Now, of course, he had the benefit of many plagues that came upon the Egyptians that helped persuade him, but God used him. God chooses people to serve him, not based upon their ability, but based upon their willingness to listen to him, their willingness to submit their lives to him, their willingness to humble themselves to the Messiah. God chooses us to serve in ways that we cannot imagine, in ways that have limitations unknown to us. We place limitations on ourselves, and the Holy Spirit removes them if we only listen, if we only will stand in the light of the Lord. The shepherds were willing to stand in the light. The shepherds were willing to share the good news. God is calling us even today, calling us at the most unexpected times, in the most unexpected places, and in the most unexpected ways to serve him, to worship the Messiah, and to share the good news with the people that we know, the people that we meet, and even the stranger. Tonight, I call you to have ears to hear and eyes to see, and to never, ever be afraid to stand in the light of our Lord. Yes, it will change your lives. Yes, you will have unexpected things to encounter. Yes, you may be ridiculed by your friends. And yes, you will make a great difference in this world. Amen.